Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX 205. Okay, I'm going to compliment myself again. I was just saying to Rach on the break that I'm proud of this show because we have never faked stuff. We've never faked outrage. I know there are lots of shows that did and still do, like, okay, Kevin, you have this take, and then Rachel, you say this to Kevin, and then Andrew, you come in off the top rope. Like, they literally do that. And it reminds me of something I saw today about music, and it was talking about guys who shred on guitar. And for, not all of them, but a lot of them, it's to cover up the fact that they can't play very well.
Ah, right.
Same way with drummers, same way with so many things that you think about, like with acting. You know, some of the greatest actors, like an Anthony Hopkins, what is it? He's comfortable with silence. He's comfortable with space. He doesn't need to paint everything. Makes sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've always sort of felt that way and appreciated that. And yeah.
The way it should be.
Just two thoughts hit me at the same time.
Yeah, it's the difference between forcing it and just letting things happen.
Yeah. Now, when we find some gold, like a neighbor lady wiping Andrew's butt, you run with it.
Yeah, you're going to mine that gold.
Yeah, you're gonna make hay while the sun shines.
You're definitely going to exploit the good
stuff. We're going to beat that horse till it's good and dead.
Yeah.
I wonder if she still thinks about me.
Oh, my God.
What's funny to me is 50,000 people out there in St. Louis have a visual of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have it in my mind.
I do, too.
Yeah. I know
it's
exactly.
It's not a visual, Andrew. That's your memory.
I know exactly what it looked like.
The rest of us are like,
And in my mind, you have the James Earl Jones hair from Conan the Barbarian that goes down past your butt.
Yeah, this would have been in long hair.
The severe bangs.
This would have been in long hair era.
Yeah.
Right in the middle there.
Yeah.
James Earl Jones in that movie was great.
Yeah, we've all got it. If we had a DGS film festival and they could just connect our brains and play it over and over again, we'd be like, oh, washcloth. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Didn't see that one. All right. Razor's Edge?
Well, I don't know if I can. I just got a very troubling text message from the Illinois Department of Motor Vehicles letting me know that I have an outstanding ticket that needs to be paid.
Uh-oh.
Little confusing because my vehicle is not registered in the state of Illinois, but I guess I better get on that.
Get on that.
I'm so tired of the scams. Why are they allowed to do this?
I know.
Backtrace the scams and put these people in prison. Why are they allowed to scam like this? Don't understand.
We got to backtrace it.
You got to backtrace it. Okay, so I want to talk about, I particularly want to get Wheels' opinion on this, but I want to hear from all you guys, and I need to know if I'm just being mean. So I really love the tennis player Naomi Osaka. You know this, Dave, because you probably remember when I watched she had like a Netflix documentary that came out during COVID. And this was before.
Was she the one that had the mental difficulties?
Yes, so she was a great player, but she had a lot of problems when it came to talking to the press. She felt like she was under a lot of pressure. She felt like the press was very unfair. And she was very outspoken about this fact. And whenever all this first started happening, I was very, very supportive of Naomi Osaka. Like, yeah, leave her alone. She's upset after the match. And then you're asking her all these probing questions. I get where she's coming from. Well, she ended up leaving the sport for a little bit to have a baby, and now she's back. And instead of playing smaller tournaments, she's just going straight back into the Grand Slam. So she just played at Roland Garros, and she got knocked out in the first round because she was playing Paula Badosa, who is the number 10 women's player in the world. She goes on to do a press conference after the match, and she's crying. And she's saying she... did we get the audio for this, Andrew?
Yep. I can play it if you want.
Yeah, please.
Output channel does not exist. Okay. You might have to do it
there. I'll just describe it. So basically she's saying, like, I hate disappointing people. And my coach, Patrick, I think you say his last name, Montague. He's a French guy who coached Serena Williams, among many other great players. But she's like, Patrick goes from working with the greatest player who ever lived to me. And it's like, what the F? And then she's like, oh, sorry. I hope I don't get fined. And she's basically like having a breakdown.
Yeah.
As she's doing this press conference after the match. And I'm at my point with Naomi that I look at the situation and I go, I don't understand what you're getting out of crying in front of people at this point. Like, at a certain point, you kind of have to start advocating for yourself as an athlete instead of like having this Eeyore, like, poor me. Oh, I failed again. Like, yeah, you failed again. What are you going to do about it? Like, I want to see her rise up and get better. But instead, she has performances like this all the time, and then she literally cries about it. And I know I sound mean right now, but I just, as a fan of hers, it's frustrating to me to watch this happen. I guess my question for you guys is, is this something that happens a lot in sports as far as like, oh, they're just beating themselves up publicly, and it's not a good look?
Wheels, you go first.
It's hard because... you're choosing to put yourself out there and nobody's making you play tennis or play baseball or whatever. So, but you're also allowed to be whatever you are in that moment too. Right. I mean,
yeah.
Like there are people that have, you know, that's just how they react to a failure. And especially for some people that aren't used to going out in the first round. I mean, when she was playing at the top of her game, that wasn't happening very much. But I've seen it from both sides of it, though. I've seen people who use it as a cover. They're not really that upset about it, but they will use those things as a cover to avoid criticism. Mm. And I've seen people who are just genuinely crushed by things. And it's super hard to tell sometimes whether it's this is a convenient cover for why I played badly or for not wanting to answer your questions. And then there are others that are just like legitimately like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know which one she is. I know that her reply the day after was a little bit more...
more perky.
But it was also positive. More... this is going to sound like an insult. It's not. It was more of a professional person's response.
Well, that's the thing.
Right? You're a professional athlete.
Yeah.
You should maybe know in advance.
I think I have a tougher look or take on this. Give me a second here. When I used to do a lot of public speaking, and I would do a lot of it for young people who wanted to get into the creative arts. And one of my big things was I would talk about finding your voice and that you have to find your voice, whether you are a tuba player or a dancer or a comedian or whatever it is. And that the only way to do that is to try and fail and try and fail and try and fail. And then you find out, oh, here's who I am. This is how I hit a backhand. This is how I handle a rally. This is how I handle winning. This is how I handle losing.
Right.
But I said the bottom line is you can do all those things and you can identify your true voice and the public can say, not interested.
Yeah.
And every job I've ever had, from working on the farm to Mr. Donut to being a lawyer to having the DGS, took a different set of skills, a different set of toughnesses. Some of them I had, some of them I didn't. So some of those jobs I was well-suited for, some of them I was ill-suited for, and I think to be a professional athlete, especially in that sport, especially at that level, maybe she just doesn't have all the tools she needs. So you can feel for her,
yeah,
and you can applaud her battles with her mental distress, but I don't know that she should ever get a pass.
Yeah,
because you have to have... certain set of tools, and one of them is, for lack of a better term, mental toughness. Maybe you shouldn't need that to the extent that you do as a professional public person, but you do. So
Yeah, I feel like for the longest time, I had a lot of compassion for the situation, and I still do. I'm looking at it through the lens of, like, I love this player. I want to see her win another slam. Like, I would, nothing would make me happier than to see her succeed. At this point, I don't feel like the poor me thing is doing anything for her.
She should get some advice.
But she's also someone who's very active on, like, Instagram, social media, whatever. The comments are overwhelmingly in support of Naomi. Like, oh, don't feel bad. You're doing great. You've won 4 Grand Slams. Why are you so down on yourself? I get all of that. It just, I feel like we're at the point where it's like, you gotta move past this. Yeah. Like, you can't always wallow like this. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I'm kind of leaving out of the story, which, you know, call me petty, focusing on the wrong stuff, whatever. Naomi is very into fashion, and she has this endorsement deal with Nike, and they'll design kits together. And a lot of times they're, like, very elaborate, and she's got stuff in her hair, and she's wearing a jacket, and she's way more done up than the other players who are just there to play. And I feel like that would be received a lot better if she were winning.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that she's coming out and then she's losing in the first round, and it's like you're surrounded by all this stuff that has nothing to do with the sport, nothing to do with tennis, but it's obviously taking your time and energy. And then you lose and you're throwing a pity party. It's too much. Like, you have to get back to basics and just get it done.
And you also have to have some awareness, right? Like, why are you playing in a Grand Slam when you're not able to get out of the first round? You need to assess yourself better. I think that's something that all athletes have to learn. And it's not easy, because when you were where she was, you always have in your head you're still that person. We see that a lot with older athletes in, like, team sports, where they're like, I used to be this. And in their head, I know it's there. I know I can still do it. No, you can't. And they're not very good evaluators of themselves, and they keep putting themselves in position where they're going to fail. And whether it's her or her coach or just the group, I'm sure she has an agent, you should probably have a better return to play plan than just diving into the deep end of the pool if you're not sure you can swim anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Wheels. Like, of all the commentary and comments I've read about this, the people who dare to be critical during this period of time have all said the same thing. Like, you should be playing in smaller tournaments to build back up before you. She did kind of, like, being pitted against Paula Badosa, like, she's number 10 in the world. It was kind of an unlucky, like, yeah, you don't expect to necessarily lose in the first round. But that was a possibility when you're facing a player of that caliber. And then
if you're getting a 10 seed in the first round of a major, you are basically not ranked.
Well, yeah, exactly.
You are completely off the board, which means you are not recognizing where you are at the moment.
Right. It's
like me trying to fight a professional fighter. I'm going to get my ass kicked because I'm not ready for that.
Well, and people were saying, like, this is kind of insulting to Paula Badosa for her to be acting like it's so humiliating that she got beat.
Right.
It's like, no,
she's
kind of to be expected. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we solved that.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Tuesday. That doesn't feel like a Tuesday. Interesting topic. I thought I was watching political shows over the weekend, and on one of them, they were talking about Trump versus Harvard. And the Harvard person was making the point. This was a Harvard person. They work there. They went there. They worked there. And they said, look, here's the deal. I'm going to tell you the bottom line is about a third of our students are international. And those are our best students. The best and the brightest no longer come from the United States of America. They come from China. They come from India. They are brighter than our students. They work harder than our students. And when we're lucky, they have a great time in the United States and they stay and they work for the government and they work for our corporations and they make us much, much better. And that's one of the main reasons that we can't lose international students at Harvard or anywhere else. And the person was trying to push back and say, well, what we need are the best and the brightest of American kids, not the best and the brightest of the world. And the guy's like, well, you're just stupid then.
Hmm. Yeah, that's stupid. I mean, for the country, what has allowed us to thrive is that we are pulling talent from all over the world. It's just a fact. Elon's not from here. What's he done? I mean, again, we can agree or disagree with what he does, but look how influential he is. Mm-hmm. Look at the wealth that he's built. Look at all. I mean, if we're not accepting people or we only want it to be the best of what we have, we're limiting ourselves. And all of the societies that do that, that limit to the best of what's in their within their borders, are limiting themselves. It's not the point. I mean, and I do think some of this is also a little bit of a perspective gap, right, where for a long time we didn't have as many international students. And what we didn't realize is not so much that they were all passing us by, but that we just weren't allowing them in. You were just talking about the Ken Burns documentary and how it's not that the Negro League players suddenly got better and belonged. It's that they were finally let in the door. They were always there. They were always great players. They just didn't have the doors open. And in modern times, those doors have been open for international students to come over. Before that, they weren't so much for a lot of reasons. Some of it just logistics, travel, communication, all that stuff makes it a lot easier to be in a student in a faraway place than it would have been 50, 60, 70 years ago. So I think there's a little bit of a gap there in terms of how we perceive that being passed by is not necessarily or allowing more talent in is not the same as being passed by. Right. Am I saying that in a way that makes sense? But there's a greater point that what makes us great is that we get the best or amongst the best of the pick of the litter from other places. The best of America is not going to China to study and work, right? So they're not getting that benefit. But we do get some pretty bright people who come from China and stay and become a part of what we're doing, and that's better for us.
What about the argument that every person who takes a seat at Harvard or WashU, that's an American person who doesn't get that seat?
I thought we were about achievement and work and not about entitlement. Should we get something just because we're born here? Are we entitled?
Should we allow 100% of international students?
Well, I would argue there should be different standards for public versus private schools. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they're not the same thing. You could argue that all you want, but we don't do that for different states. We don't say that the only people from our state can go to this state school. Now you pay more if you come from out of state, mm-hmm. but like you're not limited from scholarships. For example, my kid had a scholarship at the University of Alabama. There was nothing down there saying those should be for Alabama kids. Although there were probably people that thought that, right? I mean, I guarantee you that were they right? Not so sure. I agree with that. I'm all about merit on almost everything. As long as we're talking about within a fair set of rules for competition. If we're going fair set of rules for competition, then merit is what matters, not where you were born.
Rach?
I'm thinking of Vivek Ramaswamy. Remember when he like blamed the U.S. culture for the reason why we're being left behind in tech because we prioritize like the prom king over the mathlete? I don't know if that's 100% correct or not, but that's just where my mind went whenever you brought up the fact that our best students are international. It's not because they're just better than Americans. It does feel like a cultural thing where it's like you're going to be pushed harder in other parts of the world Whereas in the U.S., it's like, what school are you going to go to party? So I don't know. If you want to have all American students, maybe we need to change the way we look at academics.
Well, who's the biggest
US?
Rock star on a high school campus?
Quarterback.
Yeah, it's a football player.
Marching band.
It's a basketball player. It's not the smartest kid in the class. It's not the valedictorian unless they happen to be the same thing, right? Yeah. Unless you happen to have a valedictorian that's also something else.
So do you think, because I have such a big theory on, we're out of time. Well, isn't that great when I had my big theory all set up?
I guess they're just going to have to wait till after
on the next
Horton.
Episode of How the World Turns.
Writing down big theory, and by the time I finish this live, I'll have no idea what that means. When you find yourself alone. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. I'm a talk show pal, Ricky Horton. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Dave. How are you? What's going on today?
Doing well, man. Doing well. An update. You know, I have bitched about how we use too many baseballs, and it's it's not horrible if it's got a little green grass stain on it. And I watching the Ken Burns documentary, I found out why that is. It used to be an advantage to pitchers. They would intentionally dirty up the ball, and then got hit in the head and died. The only time that's happened, and the very next game they started replacing the balls when they would get dirty. Isn't that interesting?
And they also outlawed the spitball, which they thought was a pitch that was not really easy. Because I think that pitch, and I think that was a Chicago Cubs shortstop, if I'm not mistaken, that was killed back in whatever that was, 1905 maybe. But I believe it was a spitball that was thrown. So they started outlawing that too because they thought it was hard to control that pitch. Mm-hmm. And you know they also. You know, obviously they've made such advancements since then, but it's not just the baseball. It's the lighting and it's, you know, the kind of all the armor you get to wear, the helmets. Because they weren't even wearing helmets. They were wearing their regular baseball hat.
So, Rick, back in your the epitome of your talent, had they given you an emery board and some dippity-doo and all that stuff?
I'd like to think, first of all, I haven't reached the epitome of my talent. I'm still holding out hope that's somewhere down the road. But I did actually experiment with trying to throw a spitball. Let's just call it for fun. So I wanted to see how you do it. And somebody who did it maybe for fun and profit showed me how to do it. And I would throw the ball, and it literally would be straight as an arrow. So it's supposed to kind of do all kinds of dipping and you know, moving. And it's like, no, I throw it with more movement just by throwing it normally. So I said, I'm not even going to experiment with that. So I never had to actually cross the road of would I try that or not in a game. I don't know. I don't think I would have, but, it's still – I know the philosophy behind how to throw it anyway.
So did you know a lot of guys that had a little something in their hat? I mean, like, not to name names, but that was just part of the game.
No. I was in the era where emery boards were part of it. I don't think anybody on my team ever had that. I don't think they were cutting the baseball or, you know, kind of filing down things. But, you know, but I do know that pine tar was a thing. And when I was with the Dodgers, everybody in the bullpen, except for me, had a little pine tar rag that they kept in their back pocket. And one pitcher slid into home, and his pine tar rag slipped out of his back pocket. It was laying on the ground, which is illegal. It was actually the year that Jay Howell was suspended from pitching in a playoff game against the Mets because he had pine tar on his hat, which was illegal. And, you know, it was kind of illegal, but... You know, nobody really said too much about it at the time, typically.
Well, we need to get Ricky on a bus to get to the ballpark. So, Wheels, what do you got for him?
Not much, Rick, except a great, great weekend since we last spoke. Got a great weekend at home against Arizona. Yesterday was one of those days that you hope doesn't repeat itself too much, but it should lend itself to a couple of fun games in Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore's, you know, a better team than they've been playing, clearly. So that's kind of one of those trap series if you're not careful. Honestly, one of the hard things is going to be getting the games in. It's actually raining right now, lightly. And so that's an issue. By the way, I'm standing in a very cool place in the East Harbor of Baltimore City, and looking out over the harbor and the boats and the marina, and looking up at Federal Hill, and not too far from here, Francis Scott Key penned the national anthem down at Fort McHenry, which is off to my left. I feel like I should do travel vlogs when I'm on because there's so many cool things that I get to see and do, and so a little rain's not going to dampen my spirit.
Ricky, you should become a TikToker.
Rick, that is a great idea.
And do your travel TikTok.
It is so me to be a TikToker. Maybe I will do that. You have inspired me.
See, you said, Rick, that you're still hopeful the best of you is yet to come.
We just found it.
And it could be, that's right. Maybe on TikTok I could show people how to throw a spitball, too.
Yeah. Ooh, there you go.
Get out the door. Just get ready with me.
Pitching tips and really cool travel things.
All I got to do is find a little spare time, and I'm in.
I love it.
I got to wait till the off season, right?
I love it. All right, Rick, you go take care of what you need to take care of, and we'll hook up with you on Thursday.
All right, guys. Good to chat. See ya.
All right, very good. I think that's a great idea.
Honestly, it probably wouldn't be a terrible one to do that for all the travel because they literally, they're all over the country.
I mean, even just like, I think it'd be interesting to say, like, look, I'm looking up Federal Hill. This is where Francis Scott Key is, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But just following a legit broadcaster into all the parks, this is the broadcast day-to-day booth.
This is what we do, yeah.
This is how John Rooney gets ready. I would watch every single one of those.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to do those.
Oh, there you go.
God, I just need to become a play-by-play guy.
Do the TikTok. You could do that for us here.
I didn't realize what a dream job being a play-by-play guy was for broadcasters.
Dude, that's why nobody quits it.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't beat, like, all right, I get to go to the ballpark every day for 6 months. Six and a half, seven, if you count spring training.
Yeah.
You get a bunch of months off, hopefully not too many, because you want to be in the playoffs. And you get paid well, and you get to be around baseball and have fun. Yeah. There's a reason that guys, when they get those jobs, don't go anywhere.
They were interviewing Red Barber on the Ken Burns thing, who did
play-by-play
for 70 years.
Yeah.
He had never seen a professional game when they hired him.
Nope.
He had never seen a game.
Yep. That was back in the time when that was possible.
Yes. Nuts. I'm kind of one of those guys.
Yeah.
I got my job based on nothing in PM Drive. Would never, ever happen again today.
Probably
that was
not.
Only 25 years ago, but yeah, just goes to show you. So think about what's possible now that in 25 years they'd go, can you believe he got a job in IT when he didn't even know what a blowborg was? I mean, you know. Yeah. So you want to hear my big theory?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So just to refresh, we were talking about Harvard saying that the best students in the world are international students, specifically from China and India. They are brighter, they work harder, and that's why we bring them to Harvard. And if we get lucky, they stay and they add to our community. And then Rach had some things to say about it, and Kevin. And to one of Rachel's points, which was basically, Vivek Ramaswamy was talking about how we here in America, we give all the praise to the athletes and none of the praise to the mathletes. And I have this theory that back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, America engaged in out-and-out propaganda. They wanted to shape society. They wanted people to be married. They wanted them to have three kids. They wanted them to this. They wanted them to that. And we followed along like lemmings because we didn't know any better. And one of the things is I can tell you growing up that the smart kid was like a side character in every movie and television show.
Yeah.
It was always the cool kid, the bad kid,
the good looking one,
or the good looking athlete kid. The smart kid was always Urkel. They're always like, oh, here comes little Snotty, you know, his best friend. He's evidently really good at math. And of course, that's what we did. Of course, that's what we did. And you wonder how much of that was intentional, how much of that was really short-sighted. Because when I was growing up, there were geniuses out there, but I didn't know any. Everyone I knew worked at a refinery, and the really smart ones were in management and had a brick house. You feel me? Like, I think maybe we made a mistake. And when Steve, who was a exchange student from Taiwan, who spent a couple of weeks with us about 10 years ago when Nick was in high school, he would tell Nick, like, dude, I'm at school by 7 in the morning. And I get home about 5, 6 in the evening, do my stuff, have my fun, and then I study till midnight. Like, that's just every single day.
So. Yeah, and I wouldn't argue that that's the correct way either, because I would also argue there is a point of diminishing returns where you're spending too much time on some things you probably don't need to, and your fatigue can mean that you're not learning as many things as you could as well. But
if you take what I said as truth,
yeah, the first part is
how did we become the world's leader in everything?
Well, I mean, Who were the people that we brought in to fuel our rocket program?
Nazis.
Because we pulled talent from all over the world, and we had smart people here too, right? This is not to say we didn't have as many intelligent people as anywhere else, but we had them and pulled from all over the world. Right? I mean, like, that's the point. It's not just that, it's not saying we don't have it. It's like saying there aren't enough good baseball players in the United States for the major leagues. There are. But when you can pull them from the Dominican and from Japan and from everywhere else, you just have more good ones.
And you're making me think we didn't pull them with an egghead society. We pulled them with our American society. People wanted to come here from other places because of this propaganda-filled society that we built.
Yeah, probably less about that image of, you know, the high school quarterback being the big man on campus and much more about the opportunity that exists to exceed your station, right? Because in a lot of places, you don't have upward mobility. You can be the smartest person in the world. You're going to get assigned your job, and that's where you're going to go, and that's what you're going to work. And here, if you're the smartest person, you can become the richest person in the world. You can become, if you're not born here, you're not going to be president, but you can certainly become a person of influence and power.
People need to email in their questions because we answer everything. We have solved many things today.
I just think there are, you know, I know that this is not in any way an area of expertise, but there are a lot of parallels between how sports run and how society runs. And we've learned in sports that when you pull the best from all over the world, the sport's better. Are we better or better? Or are we not better with Shohei Ohtani in the big leagues? Well, that applies. That logic applies outside of just sports and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like when people talk about like, okay, we have to make America great again, so we need to just make everything American. Well, American doesn't mean you were born here and you live a certain lifestyle. It's like that's what makes America great is the fact that we are a melting pot and people come from all over. So I guess it just depends on how you look at it.
But literally how we were built.
Right. Like that's what has made us thrive this whole time. And to ignore that is pretty silly.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX 251. We're out today at 4:30 on the dot to make room for Matt Pauly in the pregame and then Cardinals baseball at 6:35?
5:35. Boy, okay. It's crazy. Okay. That's a weird time, too. What are you doing, Baltimore?
Himself. Yeah, I did doy myself.
You doyed.
Am I the only one creeped out? Did they wrote a song and recorded it in a studio about leaving your kid to roast like a piece of beef in the back seat? Have you been hearing that PSA we just played?
Oh, yeah,
check
yeah, yeah.
The back
yeah.
seat.
Yeah, yeah.
Boom, oh, ba-doo, ba-doo, I thought he was saying,
check the back seat.
Get the vaccine.
No, he's saying, check the back seat.
Yeah.
Right.
There's got to be a better
weird,
way.
Right?
Yeah, that's odd.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. I get how ideas work. I've had a bunch of them. And someone said, why don't we make a jingle? And they're like, that's hideous. Like, no, hear me out. Like a cute little jingle. And then we say, got in your head, right? Well, good. Don't let your kid roast in the back seat. Like, yeah, I get that it's an idea. I'm not sure it's the one we should use.
Not to sound too horribly judgmental here, but I think if you're relying on a jingle to remind you of your
Amen,
child,
sister.
Like, we're a little too far
some
gone.
I got in some trouble because we've had it happen in St. Louis, and I haven't been very sympathetic with the parents because I've been one. I've been a harried, hurried parent, taking more than one child to school at the same time and in a fight with your spouse and you've got a cold sore and all that kind of stuff. Never once did I come close to leaving my child to roast in a car. Sorry.
It's like really hard to forget about those things.
Yeah.
Like they're so loud and omnipresent.
Yeah. Kevin had a good thought continuing on our whole thing about America, that they set us up to worship in large way the good looking, and most of us are not.
Yeah.
But then they said, but we got an idea. How about Maybelline? And you're like, well, tell me more.
Yeah.
Well, you put this stuff on your face and you look a lot better than you normally do.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of buzz that are just over the years. You think about how things are structured. Why do certain things get featured, right? Because they can be aspirational.
Yes.
There are things that
we're an aspirational nation.
There are things that you can, in essence, buy, right? You can buy the nice house, the nice car. You can pay to have the nice clothes or the makeup or to have your hair done, in a really nice way. Like, those are things that you can, those are consumer driven ideas. What's not consumer driven is smart. Right?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make anybody money if you make yourself smarter. It's just good if you make yourself smarter.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to buy a... Now, there are things you can buy. You can get tutors. You can pay for software that can help you learn. There are means to do that, to make that consumerizing, to make that a consumer thing, too. But for the average person who's a grown-ass adult,
yeah,
what are you going to pay to make yourself 10% smarter for?
So, what do you guys think in 2025, when it's easier to be more attractive... You can get plastic surgery. You can use makeup. You can
filters on your pictures.
Filters. You can take the fat shot. Is it a zero sum game? Like, let's say that I'm in the 60th percentile of good looking. Okay, I'm only better looking. Well, there are only 40% better people, 40% better looking than me. And 20 years ago, I would have been in the 35th percentile. Mm. But I've used this and gone to Dr. Maupin and all this kind of stuff, and I'm better than I used to be. Will I be considered better, or is it all relative? Like, everyone above me upped their game, too. So I'm still kind of in the 60th percentile.
Yeah.
Or 35th.
Yeah, I don't know.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's just weird that it also kind of bleeds into what we prioritize for our kids.
Yeah.
It's one thing if every one of us wants to keep up with the Joneses. It's another thing to not recognize that your kid, like, you can get good grades just through hard work. Yeah. You don't have to be a genius to get A's. You just got to put in the time.
True.
Right? To achieve what you need to go to college, to get scholarships, you don't need to be Albert Einstein.
Yeah.
You just need to put in the time, but we don't emphasize that.
You know what, though? We're seeing it right here on this show. The domination of physical attractiveness. You've got a bitchin' haircut. I got one of the coolest t-shirts I've ever found in my life.
Yeah, Rach's got the glasses.
Everyone's got, Rach has an eye disease. And so look how pretty she is with her eye disease.
Disease? Come on, man.
Condition. Malady.
Situation.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming and 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.